Dear Diary, I've got a joke. Why is Dracula so easy to swindle into these advantageous dealings? Because he's a sucker. Ha 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 ha. It's funny, but also so sad and quite true. I take it right on my pointy and masculine chin, though, because when you live forever, you're gonna get hoodwinked. That's just law of large numbers. But as my old pal and fellow vampire Roger Daltrey said, I shan't be fooled again.
Philo, you are floating, weightless, not in the crimson waters you were just swimming in, but in an endless black abyss. And standing in front of you, you see a familiar face. It's not one that I think you've ever met before, given this sort of difference. The gap between your positions in the church. But from maybe some stained glass windows here and there, you see the Turbo Cardinal who is looking down at you piteously. I guess you did see him on the on the operating table back in the church.
He didn't see Philo, but Philo did see him.
Yes,
he tried
absolutely.
To attack him.
He is looking down at you as you kind of gain your bearings and this space that you're in continues to sort of take shape. You realize that the two of you are not alone in here. All around you in this void are humanoid figures. Some are moving, just kind of aimlessly shambling about. Some are kneeling in a sort of fetal position. Nobody seems to be doing particularly great. But they are giving a sort of wide berth to you and the Turbo Cardinal. You are sort of so bewildered by what you're seeing and this place that you have, you know, all of a sudden appeared in. It takes you a second to realize you're not a puppet. You are Philo again in this place. The Turbo Cardinal looks down at you and he says,
"Welcome, my child. Have you come to give your confession? I recognize a member of the flock when I see one."
No, your Eminence, I am not here for a confession. I'm here. Oh, this is going to take a while. I am here to help you. I'm a bit confused as to the situation. Can you explain to me where exactly we are?
He looks around the space and smiles and looks down at you and says,
"I suspect we are nowhere at all. The physical laws that govern our world, or perhaps I should say your world, do not seem to apply here. It would perhaps be simplest to say that we are within the God-armed
Oh. I want to do a religion check.
Sure.
To try to see if I can glean any more information from as to where we are and what state we're in.
Maybe I think here in Wyoming. I think maybe not religion. I don't know what a religion check would get you here, but I do think a straight up perception check might be
yes,
more.
But Griffin, I have -1 in perception and +6 in religion.
Okay. Well, that's very exciting.
What about investigation?
Right. Oh,
if you can tell me sort of specifically what you are investigating, then
I want to look at the form of the Turbo Cardinal and see if he still looks vampiric.
Oh, yeah, sure. Go for it. Give me an investigation check or a medicine check, honestly. Either one.
Investigation. Okay, that's a whole 6.
He looks different from the Turbo Cardinal you saw laid out on the table. More vital. His cheeks are less sallow. You don't see pointy teeth as he is talking to you. As far as you can tell, this Turbo Cardinal you are speaking to does not appear to have that same affliction.
Your Eminence, do you at all recall what was the onset of your vampiric state? When last I saw you, to be honest, you were laid out almost at the state of death with vampiric tendencies and yet no bite marks. Do you have any recollection of being in that state?
His smile vanishes, and he looks down at the floor and he says,
Perhaps you should receive my confession instead.
Of course.
What is your name, my child?
I am Brother Philo.
Philo.
Yes.
Philo, what is your rank?
Oh, I am merely a monk, sir. I am looking to advance. I'm looking to move on. I was being audited in the Cathedral of Enumeration.
Yes.
And by Deacon Atreus, he yes. took me to see you, and you had fangs.
I feared that may be the case. But you may not be aware then of the complex politics that our church must be embroiled in to survive. The throne, Philo, is no fan of our orthodoxy. The foundations of our church are crumbling, and my pleas for succor to the Lord of Light went unanswered. And so I must confess that I sought power in the only place where I knew power was guaranteed, in Ongrave. I was invited to have audience with the entity in which we now reside. He needed my help, so he claimed, and would bestow upon me power to save our order. But when I failed to provide it, he found another use for me, I suppose. That is how I came to the state in which you saw me.
So it was on that turned you into the pseudo-vampire that I saw you as?
On is at the source of every vampire that dwells this world. I am shamed to have fallen into such a state, and I hope I did not do you or any other members of our order any harm.
No. If I were to, let's say, eliminate this on, Would it cure you if I were to be able to somehow murderize him, her, it, they?
You are young, I suppose. You cannot kill a god, Philo. You can only delay it. And On has been much delayed. I fear that I am beyond saving in the physical world. You may be able to cure me of the virulent evil that has plagued my physical form, but there will be no reunion for me.
And he gestures to his sort of ethereal form. He says,
when On turned me into what I am now, he drained me of it. Well, it would be too simple to say of all the goodness in my heart. He drained me, to put it simply, of my own capacity to be satisfied. Whatever man you would cure out there would lack decency of any stripe. I would ask instead, should curing me prove impossible, that you dispatch me so that what's left of my soul may rejoin the light.
Outside of the heart, back in the meat space, we are in the petrified heart chamber. On one side, sort of the north half of this room, Mutt, you have just conducted a flawless ruse to free hide and then turn the attention of the half dozen guards or so in this room to turn their attention to him. You have also knocked the gigantic flesh golem into the crimson waters as the gate of this cell swung open. We're going to get to that in just a second, but on the other half of this room, Lady Godwin, you stand at the mouth of a tunnel.
Yeah, Griff, it's the problem with taking a little breakarooski in between recording these episodes for travel. I, for the life of me, I'll be damned if I can remember what my plan was over here. Seems like Mutt's getting some good work done, and Griff, I think what we got here is a classic case of a barbarian trying to be useful in a stealthy situation, but I'll be damned if I could tell you what my goal was here.
Yeah, sure. I mean, you got to do
the... I believe, Justin, the end goal might have just simply been curiosity.
I think if you guys looked over at Lady Godwin, you would have seen her, like, ducking down, looking at the cave, and then all of a sudden she's kind of, like, stands bolt up, like, what? What am I doing?
As if a month.
Sorry, guys. It's a brain fart.
Yeah. Why don't you give me a perception
history check to remember what your plan was?
Yeah, that's good. Perception, groovy. Okay, it's an 8.
At an 8, I will sort of lay out the scene. You see Mutt doing this deception. Up on the north side of the room, and it seems to be working quite well. All eyes are on Hyde right now. You get the impression, though, you are standing fairly out in the open. If, you know, one of these guards turns away from this ruse, they will see you.
Ah, shit. You know what I gotta do?
What?
I think I gotta go in the cave with the eyeballs. I think I gotta go in the cave with the eyes.
Okay.
That's the only safe... Sure. I don't know if it's safe or unsafe, but I know being out here is unsafe. So I'm going to head deeper into the cave to try to hide my presence here.
Okay, cool. You step foot into the cave and vanish from
you
the chamber.
You hear a bunch of tiny little animal voices go, wait, what?
Wait,
really?
Okay, I thought we were going to have
us?
To... Okay.
You step inside the tunnel, and it takes you a while for your eyes to adjust in here. It is... nearly pitch black, aside from these yellow eyes that are watching you. Beyond those eyes, at what you assume to be the back of the tunnel, some distance away, you also see a flicker of bright red light. It is reminiscent of sort of the flashes of light that you saw in the sort of seams In the tunnels in this cave system, the like arteries, if you will, leading into the heart chamber. This one is quite bright, and now as you move into the tunnel, you can see it. That light illuminates the creatures that are in here with you, and they are numerous and various. There is a diverse collection of nocturnal beasts in here. You see foxes and wolves and bats and hedgehogs and any numbers. Noah's Ark. It's Noah's Dark in here.
As
you go inside. However, these creatures do not attack you in some sort of, you know, weird hive mind formation like the rats you encountered on the Spinal Bridge earlier. They are fairly docile. In fact, a lot of them aren't even looking at you as you enter into this tunnel. They appear emaciated and somewhat bummed out. These creatures that you are now in the tunnel with do not appear to be any kind of immediate threat to you, Godwin. What do you do?
I'm going to, without moving forward into sort of their space, I'd like to take a look at towards the light you were describing, see if I can figure out anything else about it in my limited capacity to understand.
Sure, give me, I think this could be perception or investigation.
Either one is a 0 plus 13 is what I rolled there. Better than a 12, not as good as a 14. That's what I always say.
Maybe 30 feet into this tunnel, it dead ends. This is not so much a tunnel as much as it is just a little hovel that these pitiful creatures are kind of taking shelter in. At the back wall, sure enough, has an exposed seam of this red crystal vein, and it is pulsating much brighter, much more steady than any that you have seen so far. Not entirely sure why, but I think even you, without any kind of like magical training to your name, you are feeling a great deal of just energy radiating off of this thing.
Man. This is like a really bad... I don't love any of my options right now.
You got yourself some barbarian impulses over there?
Yeah. Man. I'm not going to do... I'm not going to do anything. I don't know what to do. This all seems extremely bad.
That is your prerogative. If you don't
want to do it. Tell you, I'll be honest with you. I am being colored by the conversation that I heard between like Philo and the Turbo Cardinal about like what is...
Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't hear
anything. You know what I mean? Like, I know I didn't, but like my impulse is I'm trying to balance like knowing that with like what she would do. I'm going to head towards the light. I'm going to head towards the light slowly. Okay. With my hands up in a very non-threatening way and singing a sweet song.
Let's hear some of that song. Yeah.
Yeah. What's that sound like?
Little night boys, my little night boys, let me sing to you of your greatest joys. The moon overhead and the dew underneath. There is still mouse blood on your teeth, my night boys.
My favorite Sondheim from Little Night Boys. I love that one.
Give me an animal handling check with advantage.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, he earned advantage.
Six.
You get inspiration for that. I was inspired.
Two.
Man, what has happened? happened to us?
Griffin likes the song and Jesus doesn't.
You know what it is? Okay, here's what happens. With a six, I think actually what happens, the creatures love this song. And as you walk down this tunnel singing the tune, they start gathering around you. So much so that you are having to step kind of cautiously so as not to trample any of them. As you near this glowing red vein, you feel little pitter-patters on your shoulders. You look over and you see that you have a handful of tarantulas that have descended from the cave ceiling and landed on you.
Cute. The way I'm picturing them. Hey, here's a little secret if you're freaked out at home. Picture them cute.
Yeah, that's all you
helps a lot.
How far have I made it?
You've made it to the feet. You have made it to this vein though. You are here you can see it very, very clearly now. I will say
what am I feeling? Tell me what I you know what? Let me do. Ooh. Would you let me do an insight check on myself?
Oh.
To see, like, what
to
kind
see
of...
To see if you're lying?
What, no, I guess insight isn't exactly the vibe. But, like, I want to try to, like, really get a sense of what kind of vibes I'm getting from this. Like, what kind of energy is... I don't have any magical sense, right, obviously? So, I mean, an arcana check I don't feel like makes sense, but some sort of, like, what am I feeling from it?
Okay, yeah, sure, give me an insight check.
Ooh, of course, oh my now God. A critical 20.
What a cool one to get a nat 20
on.
What a cool one.
Her this, insight, her yeah, third right. eye opens. She sees all. She is love. Everything is love. She understands herself on such a deep level.
This is a bit weird for me as a DM, because I am generally uncomfortable telling you guys how you feel about a situation. Or at least I try to be uncomfortable.
Let me ask you this. Let me rephrase this question, Griffin. As I approach it, how does my mood shift?
Is there an outside influence?
Do I feel differently now close to it than I did before?
Here is how I will answer this question. You are a barbarian. Mm-hmm. You didn't used to be, but then your body got exploded and your head got transplanted onto a barbarian body. And now you're a barbarian. And as a barbarian, you have slaughtered some stuff. You have killed things with your powerful axe, Jennifer Myers, and severed heads and struck at vulnerable points on a number of different creatures. This thing you are standing in front of, you feel a vitality from it. You feel a weakness to it. That is, I think, the best I can kind of answer without, you know, kind of directly guiding you and telling you what to do.
I tell you what, I'm gonna pick up one of my little night boys and hold him right against it. They got a little possum handy. I can test.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, you can pick up a possum.
How does he react?
It barely reacts.
Oh, wait, let me roll for possum test.
Yeah, roll possum.
Just a quick possum check.
You roll performance, which I guess is another nat 20. What the fuck, Justin?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I really need to know what's going on here. I guess. I don't know. At a certain point, Griffin, like, we all have plans, right? And you had plans.
So Justin starts fushiging a possum around.
You had plans for how you want this thing to go, and I had a plan, which was rub a possum on it so good that I know everything. And I'm sorry. Like, there was a chance that this possum plan didn't pan out. But the possum plan panned out, and now you can't pan me.
You got to tell him your dark secret.
Give me the gold.
You hold the possum. Gingerly, it looks up at you trustingly. It liked your song a lot. And place it against this glowing red crystalline vein. As you do so, the possum, its eyes go wide. And it...
Okay, I stopped. I stopped. No, I stopped.
Oh, stop. Okay.
Its eyes go wide. Stop. That's fine. It's bad. It doesn't like it. That's fine.
It looks... No. The opposite, Juice.
No, God, no.
Okay. It looks stronger. It stretches its body out. And as it does so, you see it kind of snap out of it. Snap out of this fugue it's in. And it does like a couple quick circles in your giant hands as you hold it. And it looks... like, ready to fucking party.
Interesting. Yeah, okay, I'm gonna hit it with my axe.
Okay. Wait, sorry, the possum or the vein?
The vein, yeah. Okay. My research is complete, and I've decided... I've decided, after extensive testing, that Griffin's not gonna give me anything better than that, because I got two 20s in a row, one of which was a possum test. So, yeah. Roll to hit it with axe.
The possum...
Now it's a six. Now it's a six. Now it's a six. Now I'm rolling sixes.
You slam your axe, your trusty axe, Jennifer Myers, into the vein. It immediately splits down the middle, and a spray of bright red blood shoots out of it like a fire hose.
Fuck yes, let's go.
It blasts you, leaving a Lady Godwin shaped silhouette behind you on the wall, and it is pretty gross. You are now covered in god blood.
Okay, how am I feeling right now?
You feel incredible. You heal up to full. I don't even know if you have any damage, but you feel
I do, but not anymore.
Like you are. You have been revitalized.
All right.
As you pull Jennifer Myers back.
I didn't know it was a HP thing. I would have just popped it instantly and chucked back out. I actually would have killed all those guys and then popped the HP. Absolutely.
As you pull Jennifer Myers back, the blade of this axe. What does Jennifer Myers look like? You haven't really, I think, described kind of what right. sort of axe
this is. Oh, well, here I go. So imagine the long stick. And yeah. then at the end of it. Mm-hmm. There's two curved blades.
Uh-huh.
Kick ass, dude. Yeah. No, for sure.
Connected in the middle or separate?
No, no, no. This is the best part, right? Uh-huh. The two blades are connected to the stick at the end.
Oh, holy shit.
Ooh. Yeah, dude.
That's so
Oh, wait,
sick.
Wait, 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 wait. I didn't tell you the best part. Runes.
Whoa! Yeah.
Cool.
And do the runes mean something or just decorative?
Well, it's not her axe. She doesn't know the mystery of the gotcha. Runes, but they are... Oh, man, guys, when I start getting into the runes,
yeah,
are not going to be able to, it's going to be a lot of, like, a lot to unpack. The runes are really important.
Yeah, sure.
Can you give us any indication on the weight of it?
What, the weight of the axe?
Yeah.
This is about an axe worth.
An axe worth of weight.
A standard kind of big axe. The yeah. only thing different about, and it's like. Almost too normal?
Huh. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Except for the runes.
Justin, is the blade just loose in the stick?
The blade is connected to the stick with glue.
Okay.
But the other thing about it is that there's only 12 runes, and each one means something really important and different.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
As you pull Jennifer Myers out of the vein,
yep.
you see that its appearance has changed somewhat.
Oh, man.
The half that you...
I just started drawing it.
The half that you attacked the vein with, the blade, now has a splash of red crystal making up a part of that blade that sort of streaks dramatically back towards the
shaft. I try to wipe
shaft.
That off.
It doesn't come off. It is crystal. It is part of the blade. You can see that these red veins, as they reach the shaft of the axe, they weave downwards. They drip and harden and crystallize between the runes, these important runes, and where they meet sort of the grip, where you are holding it, it almost looks like they're forming like... thorny vines around the shaft of this blade.
make it, Griffin, I just need you to just add one more clause for me, if you would just add making the runes illegible.
Making the runes illegible forever.
Oh, the mystery of the runes. It was a whole transmedia property, the mystery of the runes.
This act.
Griffin, are you sure? How could you take that away from Justin?
I'm sad, but the listener at home, you should be devastated.
Yes.
Right now.
Griffin.
This is the worst moment of your day. You don't even know it.
In the presence of this powerful blood, you feel your axe has gotten stronger. And it is feeding off of this sort of vital blood, and you get the sense that if any of your own blood were to get on this axe, it would reach a truly lethal potential. Jennifer Myers has become a Blood Rage Great Axe.
Whoa, fuck, dude.
A magic item. You gain +2 bonus to attack and damage rolls made with this magic great axe while you have half your hit points or fewer.
Nice! Let me tell y'all, listeners at home, what I love. In Taz versus Dracula, there have been a lot of moments where Justin, Dad, and I have done things that have thrown Griffin for a loop, and he's had to quickly prepare and figure stuff out. I love that Griffin knew that when presented with a big glowing vein, Justin was going to hit it with his axe. So in this one circuit, like, he was ready for, like, yep, here you go. This is what happened. He knew Justin so well in this circumstance.
But in the context of that, though, how excruciating must all the possum tests have been? I could see why those weren't more lucrative.
The possum, seeing this Blood Rage Great Axe, looks up at you and nods sort of violently and scampers and sort of drapes itself around your neck like a mink.
Aww. So is this something that's still happening, or is this like... gone.
The blood has stopped. It is now sort of feebly dripping from the vein, which has gone now almost completely dark. The scene in here has calmed down, except you are literally like head to toe covered in blood on your front side.
Guys, I got a mattress from Lisa, the luxury hybrid, and it is changing my life. First, I'm just going to tell you, first of all, it lays flat like this.
Yeah.
A lot of beds that I have had in the past are at a 45-degree angle or worse, Dracula style, 180.
Yeah.
So the Lisa mattress is flat, which we love. The next
that
thing,
is 180. I do just want to say that the flat is 180.
It's way longer than my body.
Okay.
A lot of beds, my head and feet dangle off of them like a child, like Will Ferrell in the film Elf.
Yeah.
The elf beds. This is not like that. This bed is bigger than my body, which is incredible.
Is it thin like a tissue?
No. It's comfortable like a million tissues.
Whoa.
Sorry, it says here, don't compare it to a million tissues. No, it's got aerated... It's got aerated foam channels and an ultra breathable dual spring system. It's like sitting in between the balance of foam and spring. It's like living in the middle,
in
the mid space. It's the perfect balance. The in the shadow lands. And it can keep you cool. They got a chill hybrid too. If you want to go a little bit cooler,
like
advanced cooling, luxury quilt top. If you want, exactly.
I'm a chill hybrid.
Yeah,
you're a chill hybrid.
Yeah, half Travis, half electric.
Go to Lisa.com for 20% off mattresses, plus get an extra $50 off with promo code ADVENTURE, exclusive for our listeners. That's Leesa.com, promo code ADVENTURE for 20% off mattress, plus an extra $50 off. Support our show and let them know we sent you after checkout. Lisa.com, promo code ADVENTURE.
And check this out.
That's pretty good, Griffin.
Thanks. I'm a big boy. I need tempo. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the advertisements here on the Adventure Zone. I'd like to tell you about Tempo.
And with us is special guest, J.K. Simmons.
That's not
my tempo.
Well, no.
It's not my tempo.
Have him say, like, that is my tempo.
Oh, that is my tempo. Okay, now J.K.,
Make him say, Griffin's the best. And
Griffin's
also
the best. Give me pictures of Spider-Man.
You didn't tell him to say that. That was you
doing
the voice.
He's on the headphones.
Okay.
He's got his own cans. He brought them from home.
Okay.
He's a professional.
Why do you guys like this?
What do you
Can
mean?
You just do a normal advertisement? Can you do like a normal, just do a normal ad?
Okay, so yeah, I'm a busy guy, and so is Travis. He knows J.K. Simmons. So when you're busy and you're on the go and you want to eat good food, but you only have like 2 minutes to heat it up, you can still have really yummy stuff thanks to Tempo. This is my Tempo. I'm talking about Tuscan bacon mushroom chicken.
Ooh.
I'm talking about five spice glazed chicken thighs.
Yeah, yes.
They got seafood options. They got chili shrimp rice bowl. They got so many stuff. They got protein pack stuff. They're always swapping around the menu, so you can always like try out new stuff, and it all tastes really good. And you can get it ready like really, really fast.
They and even J.K. Simmons likes it. He's the pickiest eater I know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. He has really specific tastes, and there is a special J.K. Simmons only menu on Tempo.
Yeah,
I eat pictures of Spider-Man.
If you go to tempomeals.com, you'll see an option that'll be like the special J.K. Simmons menu. When you click on it, it says, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" It's like a captcha. And like, "Are you J.K. Simmons?" And it tests you. And if it's not, then it'll be like, "Get the fuck out of here." Get the fuck out of here. This is for JK only, it says.
Wow. So for a limited time, Tempo is offering my listeners 60% off your first box. Go to tempomeals.com/adventure. That's tempomeals.com/adventure for 60% off your first box. tempomeals.com/adventure. Rules and restrictions may apply. Hey, a couple quick announcements, too, before we get back to the episode. We've got a bunch of cool stuff over at macromerch.com. If you haven't checked it out, you need to go do that. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will be donated to Border Angels. Macromerch.com, check that out. Also, Griffin's book, The Stowaway, is out now. To choose your own adventure. Go to bit.ly/GriffinStowaway and get all the information there, or find it at a local bookstore.
Thank you, Travis.
You're welcome, Griffin. And Justin's great, too. He does cool things.
Whatever.
All right. Back to the show.
Soundheap with John Luke Roberts is a real podcast made up of fake podcasts. Like, if you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it?
So I'm going to say mugs.
A little yogurt and a spoon.
A small handkerchief that was given to me by my grandmother on her deathbed.
Maybe some spare honey.
I'd keep batteries in it. I'd pretend to be a toy.
If I had a cupboard in my lower back, I'd probably fill it with spines.
If you had a cupboard in your lower back, what would you keep in it? Doesn't exist. We made it up for Soundheap with John Luke Roberts, an award-winning comedy podcast from Maximum Fun, made up of hundreds of stupid podcasts. Listen and subscribe to Soundheap with John Luke Roberts now.
Oh my gosh, hi, it's me, Dave Holmes, host of the pop culture game show Troubled Waters. On Troubled Waters, we play a whole host of games, like one where I describe a show using limerick, and our guests have to figure out what it is. Let's do one right now. What show am I talking about? This podcast has game after game, and brilliant guests who come play him. The host is named Dave. It could be your fave, so try it. Life won't be the same.
Big Business, starring Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin.
Close, but no.
Oh, is it Troubled Waters, the pop culture quiz show with all your favorite comedians?
Yes, Troubled Waters is the answer
to this question and all of my life's problems.
Now, legally, we actually can't guarantee that, but you can find it on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mutt.
Yeah?
Back in the chamber, the cultists are beginning to cross the bridge across this blood river to confront Hyde. You have sort of stepped away from the situation. What is your kind of like plan now that?
Well, now I look over to where I know my friends Philo and Lady Godwin are just waiting for my signal, ready to tell him like they're distracted. Let's go. I solve this room. Everything's going according to. They're not there.
They are not there. No. Yeah, you are alone in here. Aside from the many guards that are confronting Hyde. Hyde looks over at you as the guards approach him and is like,
"You gotta help me, man. Come on. You're trying to kill Dracula, right, bro? I can get you there.
I would never. Unless we... Wait. How do all the rest of us feel?
The cultists all look at you. Like, and the leader of the cult said, did you say we would never? We hate Dracula.
Yeah, I mean, we would never not kill him, right?
Yes.
Yeah, man.
He kind of eyes you suspiciously and then turns back to Hyde. Hyde is going to start...
That guy's a real Dracula lover. He was telling me before. He said he was going to save Dracula, and then he said, I'm going to turn on off. And he, like, laughed really hard at it. He thought it was really clever.
He said, he shouts out,
I don't love Dracula. If anything, I'm ambivalent about Dracula.
He is going to start trying to fight these guys off. And are you just going to stand there and watch this scene sort of unfold? Or
they're all facing him, right?
Yeah.
Is there maybe a straggler guard towards the back that maybe no one would miss?
I mean, there is a guard standing nearest to you. You would have to be pretty stealthy to dispatch him, without anybody noticing, but it is, you know, it's possible.
Okay. Let's do that.
Okay. Give me a stealth check first.
Well, Griffin, that's a 10 plus 4, a 14.
Okay, I'm going to just roll for the leader here, who is sort of the one closest, a perception check to see if he notices. Okay, go ahead and make your attack.
Okay. Uh-huh. That's a natural one.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit, man.
Now? Right now?
Bring your dagger towards the neck of this cultist. And just before it finds purchase in his exposed throat meat, he ducks out of the way.
Exactly according to plan.
And he looks at you and says,
hey, man, the sacrifice, we're not doing that right now.
No, I mean, man, I'm being controlled. Hyde's using some kind of mind control. I'm trying to resist. Oh, he really wanted me to slit your throat, man. I'm doing my best over here.
This guy's such a dick.
Give me a deception check.
Boom, 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 boom. That's a 19. A natural 19.
I've always said that guy has psychic powers. You've always heard me saying it. I don't trust him on account of his psychic powers. Okay, well, I'm going to turn my back to you again.
Okay, yeah, man, I think I got this thing beat.
All right, good. Fight him off, brother. You can do this.
And he turns back.
Okay, so I'm still not in initiative or combat or anything. I want to figure out where everybody is. I'm going to use locate object.
Okay.
To find Philo.
Sure. Yeah, that works.
Because he's a puppet.
Yeah, go ahead and use that spell object slot. You definitely, this works. He's inside the freaking heart, man. It's fucking crazy.
But even with everything going on, just like, all right. Okay. I'm going to... Okay, great. I am going to cast Protection from Good and Evil on myself.
Okay.
And then I'm going to charge the heart.
Cool. To attack it or...
Yeah. Or with, like, I don't know, man. Get in.
No,
it.
I'm down. How are you attacking it? With what?
I'm just like gonna try to like shoulder check it. You know what? Can I see liquid moving inside of it, or is it crystallized all the way through? You know, what am I looking at? Is blood pumping into it?
Yes, the blood, the river of blood that flows through this room is going through the heart. And you can see as much, you can faintly see through the sort of like crystalline surface of the heart, and you can see liquid sort of roiling around inside of it.
Yeah, I'm gonna try to hit it with my scythe or something. I'm just trying to crack it. My dagger, okay, cool. Stab it, I guess.
Okay, this is going to raise suspicion, obviously, but this is...
I'm being controlled!
Trav, good news. I either weakened for you, or I didn't. Yeah. One of the two definitely happened.
Go ahead.
Or it's angrier and more powerful than ever.
Go ahead and make an attack roll against the heart.
That right there is a gentleman's 20.
Okay.
Nice!
Sure. Yeah, no, you swing this scythe... into the surface.
No, it would be the dagger. I'm stabbing it because I don't have a plus 7 with the sickle.
Okay. You stab the dagger into the surface of this heart. And when that happens, a spray of bright and powerful blood shoots outward all
forgot
over
about that.
You.
I know that just happened.
When that happens and you pull the dagger back, it is covered in red.
You gotta ask me to describe it first, Griffin.
Leg.
What is my father's runes dagger?
Well,
he gave that to me and said, "When you solve these runes,
yeah,
I'll come back."
Well, tragically, the runes are illegible as a weaving pattern of red crystal.
I had 11 of 12 figured out, Griffin.
Wiggles around the blade, and where it reaches the hilt. It forms like thorny vines. This is now a blood rage dagger.
Okay.
And
Griffin, I have to tell you something. When I added that to my inventory, it was green. And that created a high, the likes of which I've never experienced in this show.
Yeah.
I've never added a green item to my inventory before. And the fact that you have just done this...
To cheapen it
in this fashion is, I'll never be able to forget.
Well, for what
this.
It's worth, this is not a weapon that you use very much, Mutt. But
no,
yeah.
Not until now.
Yeah. You are also similarly covered in blood. We're going to have to hack this item into the game because I'm pretty sure Blood Rage Dagger doesn't exist. But now
Correct.
You've got one too. I have now established a sort of one-stop shop for magic items.
Anybody else want to stab this? Sure.
Philo's going to be so pissed that he was...
Yeah, I rub my crossbow on it, I guess.
Whoa,
I don't know
your crossbow now has... No, it doesn't. You see every face in this room, including Hyde's, turns to look at you. And the cultist says, "I gotta be honest, you're taking some liberties with... kind of like our whole deal here. You don't stab the god heart."
No, yeah. I'm like I told that other dude, be in control, man. This is all part of Hyde. So I'm doing it again.
I attack it again.
Okay, make an attack roll.
Because it's not like crap.
Travis, attack with your boot. Get a magic blood boot.
That's a 24.
Oh. Yeah.
Travis, attack with your wiener. Quick. This is your moment.
A blood rage weenie.
Make him do it. Make him give you a blood rage wiener.
No, that time it was with the sickle because that would hit. And then I went a blood rage sickle too.
Yeah, man, sure. Now you've got a blood. No. The magic item shop has closed for the day.
Okay. Well, I stab it again with the dagger.
Okay, you stab it again with the dagger, and some shards of it break off and fall into the water. And then the leader of the cult looks over at you and says, "All right, this dude is acting awfully sus."
"Yeah, tell me about it. You gotta attack Hyde and break his concentration, or I'm just gonna keep... I'm doing it again!"
No, at this point, cultists are now sprinting across the bridge to seize you. Philo.
And... can I do one more thing?
Real quick, yes.
"I sure hope somebody helps me smash this big crystal heart. Someone a lot stronger than me who's good at attacking things."
Okay. Back inside the heart, the void, you are growing sort of accustomed to this like weightless feeling in this space. The Turbo Cardinal says,
"I'm not positive the rules of this intangible space we are speaking in, but I would caution you against staying too long, lest you have your own goodness pulled from your body. You should return."
"I will. And I will free you from this curse. I vow.
He smiles and says,
"You are a noble. You are a good man, Philo. Were I still in charge, I would see to your advancement. I do believe I am beyond saving, and so I will simply say this. You are pure of heart, and that makes you vulnerable to Arn's machinations. Do not trust him, no matter how sweet his voice may seem."
I'll try to be more cynical.
He nods and he says,
"Oh, and the most important thing, his weakness and Dracula's weakness, and basically the key to your whole quest is..."
And then a giant fleshy paw grabs you from below and rips you downwards. And you have been pulled back into the crimson waters of this underground chamber, forcibly removed from the heart by the enormous, menacing flesh golem who went plunging into the river after you. What do you do?
First of all, point of order. Here, Brother Philo / Pinocchio has been floating in this magic godblood that gave them super weapons.
Yeah.
I, Your Honor, I maintain that Brother Philo has now become a blood rage puppet.
A blood rage puppet, you say? Okay, yeah. Philo, you now have cool red crystal on your body, and when you make an unarmed attack roll at below half health, you'll get +2 to attack and damage.
Nice. Thank you.
Nice job, Dad. Big get.
You look also kind of sick.
Okay.
You should see a doctor, though. That you look terrible. Bad.
Okay, so I was pulled out of the heart, correct?
Yes.
How close am I to the opening where I swam in?
A few feet, but you are in the grip of a giant meaty hand.
That's fine.
Okay.
That's fine.
What do you do?
I am going to cast air bubble.
Oh, shit.
Inside the heart.
Oh, my God.
Wait a minute.
Fuck.
Now.
Is that a real air bubble?
Air bubble. If Dr. Sydney were here, she would tell you that the medical term for that is an embolism.
Okay.
Fuck, this is...
I'm casting an air bubble in the heart as I'm being sucked out.
Fuck.
To create an embolism in the heart of On.
Okay.
Oh, shit. Wait, guys. It's coming across my desk right now. It's the most competent thing our dad's ever done. I'm reading...
Or any of us.
Not just... It's the most competent thing a McRoy male has ever accomplished.
Wow, Dad. Amazing. What a moment.
Okay. Taking some liberties with the air bubble spell, which is supposed to go around the head of a thing. But I'm such a fan of this move. You are being crushed by this big beefy paw. And so as you reach up and release this air bubble, you see it float upwards into the heart. And as it vanishes, as it passes into one of the chambers of this heart, everything goes still and quiet for just a moment. And then a tremor tears through this chamber. From above, Mutt, you see a rift form in the ground. The rift sort of cuts across the river at one point, And you see a sort of almost like a whirlpool start to form as the blood just starts to kind of like fall out of this room. Give me a dexterity saving throw.
Okay, pretty good at those. Gentleman's 20.
Yes. Okay, on a gentleman's 20, you nearly lose your footing in this place, but holding on to the dagger embedded in the crystalline heart, you manage to stay upright. Some rocks and stalactites fall from the ceiling, landing on several of the cultists here. You see Hyde kind of leap out of the way of one of them. The fanatic is looking around. He looks terrified. You see, as the water in this chamber drain, you see Philo in the grip of a flesh golem, and they're both completely covered in blood, and the flesh golem, though, is sort of lying still on the ground and kind of twitching. Whatever has just happened here seems to have neutralized whatever magic was animating him. Godwin, Godwin, this tremor as it passes through this this tunnel, the creatures in here all of a sudden snap out of their fugue and all begin just pouring out of the tunnel, running away. You look around and realize that this somewhat narrow tunnel that you are in has begun to collapse.
Oh. I'm going to run out of the tunnel.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Give me.
You've played video games before.
One end's closed. Well, see ya. See ya. That's a sucker's bet right there.
Give me an athletics check.
Now that I can do. Usually it's a 2.
Oh, fuck.
There on that roll. Plus 6.
Okay. The creatures here hoof it, aside from the possum, which is kind of chilling with you. Just go sprinting out of the tunnel. I think maybe it takes you a beat too long to kind of like figure out what's going on. By the time you start running, you are able to do so. You are able to make your way out of this tunnel. However, at several points, part of the ceiling just kind of cleaves off, and an enormous bit of stone topples down onto you, just sort of smashing against the side of your head, very nearly trapping you in this tunnel, but you're able to make your way out. You do, however, take 11 points of bludgeoning damage as this big rock bonks you pretty hard. Mutt, from where you are, you see a flood of nocturnal animals come pouring out of this tunnel, immediately retreating from this room through the sort of southern entrance where you all came in earlier. And after all of them, you see a puff of rubble sort of shoot out of the tunnel, and from it emerges a blood-soaked barbarian wielding a giant axe now adorned with red crystal. And
I pointed the axe out. Wait, she comes out with the axe like, "Everybody look! Everyone look! I've never seen its equal! The most exciting thing happened. You won't believe it."
Oh, man.
Wait, what? You have to see this. This is going to really send you green with envy.
Oh, a thrice in a lifetime occurrence.
What is wrong with you? Look at your body.
You all are step out into this chamber.
We're all blood soaked. Is it
important
to know?
You are all covered in god blood. Yeah, this is going great. The surviving cultists look around at each other, unsure what to do. The kind of like bioluminescent...
bioluminescent algae.
What?
Sorry. From Moana.
Anytime I hear someone say bioluminescent,
I get you from the guy from...
Oh, Moana. It's covered in bioluminescent algae.
You all are standing in this chamber. The cultists are getting their bearings, and they take up their weapons and sort of like half-heartedly begin to walk towards you, and then a voice passes through the chamber from beyond the heavy portcullis. You hear a voice say, "Enough. bring them to me. And the portcullis of its own volition slides upward, disappearing into the ceiling. The cult leader looks at the other cultists who have not been crushed by rubble and takes a step back and says, "Tell me this. Are you really one of us? Because I really am starting to suspect that..."
"Oh, no, sorry, man." And I click off the runes. Sorry, man. Yeah, no, we took Toby's robe. Toby's robey. As we call it.
I told everyone that if we do this thing where we disguise our appearances, we'll be so easy to infiltrate.
Yeah, man, and I'm, as long as I'm coming clean, Hyde wasn't in on it at all. Like, this is, he's pretty much innocent, man. You should let him go.
But that means that we should hate him.
No. I just don't want you to think that he was, like, really in on it and I was the good guy. I was the bad guy in that circumstance, and I was making it seem like Hyde was doing all the bad stuff, but I was doing the bad stuff. When I stabbed the heart and I said, "Oh, he's controlling me to do this," he wasn't controlling me to do that. I was doing that on my own.
You dick. You embarrassed me in front of my friends.
Yeah, and I'm sorry about that, man, but I'm being honest now, right? And that counts for something, right?
Boss, should we let this guy go? And you hear a voice from beyond where the portcullis raised up say, "Whatever, I don't care, sure." And Hyde goes, "Woohoo!" And goes sprinting off.
"Okay, you owe me, bye!"
Okay. The cultists step aside, and the cult fanatic helps you up out of the now dry gulch where you're standing, Philo. He holds out a hand to lend you aid.
Mm. Philo slaps it away.
Whoa! Oh, okay, yeah, dude. Hard.
Damn, dude, that's hard.
Oh, he's pissed. He's pissed about the turbo cardinal.
That's hard. Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, dude. Hard.
Fuck,
ass.
That's so hard. That's
hard. You keep your helping hand.
Whoa.
And he clambers out of the gulch.
Make an athletics check.
And climb a piece of shit.
I sure will. You better believe I will. And that would be nat one.
That's unbelievable.
You start to clamber out of the gulch, and then
you're still a fish.
No, your wooden, partially crystallized hand now slips off the edge of the gulch, and you fall backwards. And the cult leader is like, "Hey, man,
darn,
come on." Just he leans down and holds out his hand. Just like, I'm just trying to get you out.
Fine. Help me out. That's great.
One of the cultists behind him says,
"Well, Puppet Man can't climb out of the gulch by himself."
"Hey, pal! Listen! It's the die's fault!"
"Wow, cringe much?"
The cult leader ignites a torch. Now that things are not lit up by the red heart so much anymore, and says, "Follow me, my lord. Wishes to have audience with you."
"Okay. Again, man. Sorry about how all that."
"Whatever, dude."
"Okay."
And he leads you to the now raised portcullis and gestures you inside.
"Yeah, head in."
"Yeah."
Okay. You pass beneath the portcullis and travel down a narrow tunnel. The noise of the chamber behind you slowly fades. You hear the cultists trying to lift some rubble off of their friends. You hear one say, "Oh, no, he's pretty good and crushed, man." And you step out into a chamber that is as cold and quiet as a crypt. And that's because in a lot of ways it is. You step into this chamber and the floor below you feels hard and hollow. You recognize that feeling from the spinal bridge you crossed earlier. You're standing on a bone, but it is so vast that it takes you a second to sort of recognize it as any kind of anatomical feature. You're standing on the chin of a jawbone. attached to a skull the size of a football field. Like the bridge, the skeleton that this skull belongs to is in a supine position, staring up at the ceiling of this chamber in a sort of pained rictus. There is a single source of light illuminating this chamber, casting the features of this skull in dramatic shadows. This light source is in the distance over the teeth and beyond the sort of nasal cavities up toward where you assume the eyes to be. And in the distance, you hear the portcullis slam shut behind you. You have been left alone in here.
Hello?
I try to open the portcullis.
Make a strength check.
Ugh, 9 plus 3.
No, it is enormous. It is far, far too heavy for any human to...
Well, I'm out of ideas. Okay. Hey, man, anybody here?
Yes, come forward. Step into the light.
Okay.
I do that.
Okay.
Yeah, same.
You all approach the light source, clambering over the teeth bones, which is...
Past the gum. Look out, stomach.
No, you're not going into this thing's mouth.
Oh.
This skull is basically forming the floor in this chamber. Anything past it, if you were to go sliding off, there is just... Just endless darkness below you. You cannot see where the bottom of this chamber is. So you are traversing the skull. It is somewhat difficult getting over the mouth area due to this skeleton's slight overbite. But you navigate sort of over that and around the nose hole and eventually sort of shuffle towards the top of this skull, ensuring that you don't slide down the rounded frontal bone and fall into the abyss below. And as you reach that place, the light source reveals itself to you. You see the hilt and several inches of a pristine silver sword is buried in the skull, several feet beyond the brow line. The hilt is adorned with several large shining rubies, and you can see the blade is etched with these ornate Celtic knots.
Runes.
Yes, these runes are... But these are actually important runes. I know we've had a lot of fun with runes here today. Make a history check.
What? Okay, now, Griffin, can Mutt just guess that that's Excalibur?
Wow.
Like, I don't know why we've talked a lot about a big shiny sword.
Wow.
I don't think I need to make a history check.
Not cool, man. Not cool at all. Wow, you violated a pretty sacred tenet here. Hey, guys, no joke. That's the end of the episode. We gotta talk about this.
We gotta circle the wagons. A huge breach of trust. This is a problem.
That's the end of it. We'll try it again next week. This is like untenable.
No, hold on. Wait, we need a tight button here. Hold on.
Okay.
You feel in your fucking soul that you stand in the presence, and you didn't work this out yourself, of the mighty blade Excalibur.
It wasn't Griffin. I'm gonna be honest, I felt nothing. God, I wanted those crinkle tinkles.
You've
so
taken
bad,
everything from me.
Oh, Griff.
I can see it in my head, little guy. I can see it.
It's
I know how
fucking,
beautiful.
But the moment's
been.
Passed.
No, I can see it.
The
I can
moment
imagine
is
how
gone
it
and over
though.
With.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
I feel Griff. No guilt. I know. I.
Thank you.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.